Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, everyone, welcome to Psychics Gone Wild. I'm your host, Andrew Romheim, and with me today is my co-host, Amy Canavan. Are you there, Amy?
Yep, how are you?
I'm all right. There we go. Got you going. Sorry about that. And I'd like to apologize, everyone, for last week as I couldn't make it on the show last night, but I heard that Amy and Kelly had a terrific show. I got to listen to the recording. Once again, sorry I couldn't make it last week. I had a last-minute issue come up, and I had to take care of it. But it seems that you guys got the show taken care of last weekend. Today, I want to talk about losses. Loss in general, family member, loved one, child, parent, brother, sister, whatever loss you felt that struck you deeply, that's what I want to touch on today, and I figured this would be something good to talk on about today, just randomly, out of the blue. Do you have anything to divulge on that today before we start taking callers? Anything else you want to put in what loss would describe?
Oh, gosh, that's, you know, that's what set me on this whole journey was the loss. First, my in 2006, I got breast cancer. That was a loss. And then in 2011, my husband died. 2012, my brother died. And it was just such a crazy journey. And one of the things that I realized when we are suffering a loss is we really need to break it down. And really, the chakras are a wonderful way to do that. Because not only did, when I lost my husband, not only did I experience his physical loss, but then there was the loss of my status as being someone's wife. I was suddenly single, and I still get sick to my stomach when I'm at the doctor's office. If there's a, you know, when you're filling out a form and it asks if you're married, single, divorced, you know, whatever, I cannot check the single button. It just petrifies me to do that. So that's a loss, you know. So that's a loss of my, a loss of myself. And then there's all this associated fear. So you really need to break down, you know, any kind of loss, whether it's the loss of a person, the loss of a pet. I think that's highly underestimated. The loss when people lose beloved pets. You really need to break down your grief, because some of the things are quite managed, you know, over time are much easier to manage and address, especially some of the lower chakra emotions associated with the grief. And as we parse it out, then the part that's left, which is the love, we can see that that really goes on. But until we get away and disassociate our loss from all this fear that's generated from the loss, we're not going to experience the unconditional love that survives a loss. So and they don't really teach you that at grief school, you know, or grief class or whatever. I got kicked out of grief widow support group because I mentioned that I had gone to a medium. We weren't allowed to talk about that. Then I mentioned that because of the situation related to my husband's death. I became a medical marijuana activist. I wasn't allowed to talk about that. You know, all I guess I was allowed to talk about was, I'm so sad. And my grief was so much more complicated from sadness. It was fear. It was not knowing who I was. I couldn't remember what I liked to eat, what I liked to watch on TV. So anyway, I could go on for the entire show about loss. But how about you?
I have to agree. What got me on this path, too, was loss. I went through a lot of problems, a lot of pains. As our regular listeners would hear every once in a while, I'd go on about my past just a little bit on to why I found my path because of how I used to be and how I used to be towards people. So, and then I just kind of had through many losses that I've had, kind of had a self-awakening. I committed myself to a mental hospital at one point in time through service, loss of family and stuff. It just, the pain of loss and the grief and that anger that I've thrusted outwards to people and basically penalized them for the pains I wasn't dealing with and blamed everybody else for everything. That was my loss because I have lost great people along my path that were there to help me, and I pushed them away. And then one day I just finally snapped, woke up, and said, hey, I'm going to change my ways. And it took a lot to do that. It took a lot of ignorance on my part. It took a lot of hard-headedness. I'm a Capricorn. I can be very, very hard-headed. And it took a lot of that to finally throw it away and say, okay, I was wrong. I did wrong. And now I have spent the better half of the last year and a half trying to make amends for those I have done wrong. And it's going to take time, and some people may not fully or ever forgive me, but all I can do is at least try. Because now I realize the wrongs I did, the people I pushed away, the people I've hurt and caused pain. Now I'm doing this, and hopefully it will justify me towards the end before I leave this plane that, hey, I recognize what I did wrong and I took steps to fix it. Now I learned how to help other people through my spiritual intuition and my healing to be able to work with people. So that's where I feel like, not so much as I owe a debt, but that's where my job now lays because of wrongs I've done in my past. So I feel, I wouldn't want to say obligated. Obligated means you have to do something whether you like to or not. I love doing this, so I can't say I'm obligated. I feel more motivated. This is what I get up to do every day of my life. And I'm taking steps on the physical realm through massage therapy to be able not only to talk to people, but to help their body, their muscles, and their whole spirit relax through touch, through massage, moving the muscles, getting circulation back into places where a doctor said, oh, you'll never walk again, or these nerves are dead. Studying an ancient form of therapy that dates back 5,000 years that has proven through history that this has worked, and it's been alongside medical history since the conception of the Hippocratical Oath, since Hippocrates founded medical practice, founded the oath, massage therapy was right there. So I found something that works with my Reiki on a spiritual end to where I can put it into a physical sense for people that don't believe in that stuff. I said, okay, well, I can do this for you. But little they know, it intertwines with each other. Because when I touch them and I work their muscles, I'm working their energy too. And that's another avenue of doing it. I'm sorry?
You bring up such an important point, and that is we try to talk our way out of grief, talk our way through loss, and it's not, you know, there's emotional components of it, but there's also physical components of it. I will wake up and I will be, feel physical pain or just this unfit, you know, I will experience the loss in a very physical sense, and lo and behold, it'll be like an anniversary, either, you know, coming up on, the anniversary of something related to his illness or related to his death. And my body, the grief, not that talk therapy and group therapy and things, that's just one of many ways that we can work our way through this, but to just think that we can talk our way through things, especially if we're talking about, and so much loss triggers, of course, your situation, having been in the military and experienced combat and things like that, but loss also can both trigger post-traumatic stress that we may have from a prior tragedy or some prior event, or it can even, you know, the illness and the events leading up to the loss. Many people who are grieving are also suffering from post-traumatic stress, which I believe is really its primary way of manifesting itself is it blocks parts of our soul. And, you know, so we feel like our soul is damaged, but the good news is that a soul cannot be damaged. But you're not going to talk your soul back to life. It requires, you know, some of these alternative modalities. And I think that they're finding that so many of these are just so very successful in dealing with it. Because it's like a holograph. It just is, you know, it changes. It changes. And it's just like an infection, you know, it just infects our entire being. But the good news is that we've got all these different skills and ways to get help. And it doesn't just have to be sitting there and talking and talking and talking, because it's some things, words, there are no words. This is one of them.
Exactly. All right. Well, we do have a few callers already in queue. Let me pull that screen back up here. All right. We got one caller on hold for about 25 minutes. Let's see here. We have area code 407. You're on live with Amy and Andrew.
Yes. Hi.
Hi. How are you tonight?
Great. Well, my name is Takira, and my question is, I've been looking for a job, going to interviews and going out and applying for jobs, and I want to know what's the hold up, like why haven't I got hired yet? Maybe like when I go to my newer interviews, maybe I will get hired, and I want to know, When will I get hired to the job? Because I'm trying my best with everything.
Oh, okay. Hold on 1 second. Let me get my cards ready.
Oh.
And Andrew, if you're ready, let me know when you're ready, and we'll just.
Did you get a question,
I've
ma'am?
Got my cards here. If you'd like me to go first, is it the first card that comes up with your present situation? Seems like it's especially timely, and I'm using mermaid cards, Dorian Virtue's mermaid cards, and it says, have faith. Your prayers are manifesting. It is critical that you remain positive and follow your guidance. So it can get, that's one of the worst things about a job search, is it is just can be depressing because it moves so slow. Hold on 1 second. I'm getting some feedback here. Okay. It moves so slow, and people are doing work, and, you know, this is the most important thing in your life, and they, you know, interview you, and then they go about their merry day and don't think about it until they're ready to think about it. But the mermaid, it's clear that you have put in the legwork for this, but you're really losing your motivation, because the process is really impacting your self-esteem. So it's really, really important for you to remain positive. And a good way to remain positive, be very careful about what you watch on TV, the music you listen to, everything that you put into your brain, be careful and make sure it's positive. Also make sure it's truthful. It's not like you just have to sit there and sugarcoat things and lie to yourself, but you know you've done the work. It's just because it's not moving as fast as you would like it to. Your attitude is sort of taking a, you know, obviously, your self-esteem and your self-worth are sort of taking a bit of a beating. So perhaps work on some affirmations. And we can always do some things to, we can always do some things to raise our vibration, either through creative visualizations. And one of the things that I really focus on your breathing, because a lot of times when we get depressed or because the situation pulls us down, we forget to breathe. We feel like we're not even worthy to breathe the air. Make sure you're breathing. Make sure you're getting enough oxygen in your lungs. One of the things I like to do is breathe in through my third eye, which is the middle of my forehead, and out through my heart to raise the vibration. So when you feel the negative thoughts coming in, just know that those are natural reactions to the situation, but they are not the out, you know, they're not the outcome.
Coming in?
Pardon me?
I say you're trying to say they're not coming in. Don't let the negative thoughts come in.
Don't let the negative, well, like, just don't give them, don't buy into them. Of course, they're going to come in, and if you just push them away, you're going to expend more energy pushing away, and you won't be getting much needed signs, but don't give them any more weight than they are worth. It's just like, oh, yeah, of course I feel that way, but that's just not true. The second card, which is your immediate future, and
yeah,
we always hate to give bad news on this, but it's saying that you may want, you're a born entrepreneur, and there's some magical opportunities as far as self-employment. So perhaps to tide yourself over while you continue to look for this job, or perhaps it's even you're feeling confident enough or that it's the they're saying that you are, there's some magical opportunities that involve self-employment. So you may want to take a break from this. You may want to take a break from this job search of going out there, putting yourself out there just to get rejected and just say, okay, well, I'm going to do this. And it may be a part-time, temporary situation, just to provide some economic security while you continue to look for a full-time position, or it may be something that you can do to generate some extra income even once you secure your full-time job that has the benefits and the security and the steady paycheck. It's also saying that, and I really sense this in your energy, you've been very, very hard on yourself about this job search, and you're not being realistic as far as you're taking too much of the blame. I haven't done enough. I'm not good enough. You are internalizing this, and it's time for some self-forgiveness. You really got to work on, again, like I was saying, about focusing on the positive. It isn't even so much focusing on the positive. Is right now you have to sort of weed your thoughts to get rid of negative and exaggerated thoughts that you're not good enough and that you're not trying hard enough or you're not smart enough, you don't have the right education. Really weed through the thoughts of yourself, and then you don't have to necessarily automatically replace them with happy thoughts. The happy thoughts will come in. There's just no room for happy and positive thoughts right now because this job search has just been so exhaustive and so slow moving. And now those negative thoughts are slowing down the process because thoughts are energy and those are a low vibration, fear-based energy. So really, work on the self-forgiveness, work on just going through, you know, plucking out like weeds the thoughts that are no longer serving you. But this card in the middle, your immediate future, is a beautiful mermaid talking about self-employment. So maybe Andrew can give you a little more insight, but that's what the mermaids are telling me.
Yeah, ma'am.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What do you say, sir?
Oh, okay. I thought you said you had something to say. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I did have something to say, but do you want me to say it or what?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, sir.
Well, Well, I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, start my own business. So I understand what you're saying.
Good. Well, maybe you can do both of, you know, maybe you can do both of them. And even if it's just starts out, I think that this entrepreneur thing, even if it's something small, it's really going to, you just need a boost. You just need a boost in the arm. So anyway, but Andrew, it's your turn. I'm going to put myself on mute for a minute.
Okay. I got, when I did my three card, it's a normal three card that what she just did. But surprisingly enough, the first thing that popped out with the first card was the Tower card on top of my Three of Swords. Now, this is significant to what she was saying because the Tower card is telling me that there's a loss of respect or power within yourself over the Three of Swords. Represents the hen, basically the hen that lays many is fertile because it lays many eggs. What's saying is that there is a lot of power, a lot of confidence within you, but you've lost the drive in it. The second card was the Hermit, is the wayfarer, knowledgeable being that lives both between the physical and the spiritual realm. The reason why this Tower came out first is because you have to recognize your own power again, because the second and the third card is a very good card, but the obstacle within yourself is holding you back. The third card came out was the Five of Swords, which represents the Buffalo Goddess to me. It represents renewal through loss, which is a pretty good thing because we covered the topic a little bit. That was our topic of the show today of experiencing loss and going through it. Loss can mean one of many, many, many things. Loss to me could be something. It may not be something to you. But basically what it's saying, when that Tower flipped out on me on the first card, two cards came out of my deck at the same time. I've never had that happen, so I'm glad Amy went so I can see her divulge into the cards. That Tower's telling me you have to acknowledge your own power within you. Power to do something when you need to, but when you have the power to do something, you also have the power not to do it. That's where your balance comes in, your choice. Your free will comes into play. You have a lot of choices at hand, like she had said, but it's mostly recognizing that you have the ultimate power within your own life, and that's what's stopping you. Because you've basically given up that responsibility, that power, and handed it out to somebody else. But the problem is, you don't know who you handed it out to because you got so many worries, so many things going on. You just basically brushed it off and say, hey, someone take it for me. But you don't know if someone's got it for you, or if someone's got it, or something's got it, and if they're either going to help you or lead you astray with it. Basically what this means is you're going to have to reach back into your heart and say, reach back into your heart and, like she said, self-affirmations. Reaffirm to yourself, you know, I am in control of my life. I can do this. Wake up in the morning. If you pray every morning or every night, don't ask for anything. Thank for what they're going to give you, because when people pray and ask, you're putting out to the universe that you are not worthy, that you're crawling up to and saying, can I please have this? Walk up to them when you pray and say, thank you for doing this for me, by the way, before they even do it, because that's saying, yes, I am worthy of this. I am good enough for this, and I can handle it. That's showing the universe that, yes, you can do it, that you've got the power within yourself. That's how you've got to handle a lot of things subconsciously, that you are in control of your life. If you walk around not in control of your life, nothing's going to come your way because you're not sure if you can handle it. With the good comes the bad. So with every ups, you're going to have downs. With every great thing you're going to have the lowest possible luck you can have to balance it. Life is about balance. Where you win the lot, where someone will win the lottery, and then you hear on the news that the one big problem with people winning the lottery is that the family tries to kill them to get their money. Greed comes in. So they just got the lottery won. They got a couple $1 million. Next thing you know, their own family's after their head because they want the money. And for everything good that happens, there have been equal and opposite reaction to counterbalance to see how you can handle it, to let you know this is good and this is bad. You're constantly reminded this. We're constantly reminded of this balance every day. Every day you wake up, there's the sun. The sun goes away, and here comes the moon to remind you, you were just in the light, now you are at night. Everything in life is exactly that way. With every good comes the bad. So basically it's the saying, you have to grab on to everything again, the good and the bad, and take control of it and know that you can do it.
Yeah, so when I pray, just say thank you for everything instead of, like, asking for a blessing, like more blessings. Just say thank you.
Say, thank you for the blessing you're going to give me. Thank you for the great life you've given me. Thank you for everything you've already done for me. That's the key point to approach everything. Instead of, can you please give me this in my life? Can you please help me with this? When people say, oh, I got all this debt, I want out of this debt, you're subconsciously putting more debt out into the universe to come back to you. Even if you got debt coming in, bad health, you know, bad luck, saying thank you for this day that you give me, thank you for the strength you're giving me to make it through yet another day. Thank you for giving me yet another day, because no one's guaranteeing you you're going to be alive tomorrow. No one promised you that you're going to wake up tomorrow morning in good health. No one has done that. No one can. So be thankful for everything you're going to have before you have it. When I was in wrestling in middle school, I didn't walk out there thinking I'm going to win. I walk out there as if I already won the match. Because that helped me get through it. Worrying on how to beat this guy, I would just be able to know. And I made it to states a couple times. I made it pretty far on my wrestling team for my middle school off of that attitude. Knowing I went out to the mat as a winner already. Did I win every match? No, but I had fun trying. That's the point. Go out there with a positive attitude and accept the positives and negatives that come with it, and then move on.
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, I'll just say that. Thank you for everything. I think that's the right way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, guys, for everything. Thank you, guys.
Well, please give us a call back. Let us know how everything
call
does.
Back. But again, it's important for some of the things that Andrew's talking about are the laws of attraction. And so often we mistake positive affirmations and, using the law of attraction, which is really just a law of physics, as arrogance and egotistical behavior. But you still can have humility and practice these positive affirmations and attract what the universe wants for us. It's not egomania, because it's not a lot, it's not a lie, it's the truth. It's what heaven and nature want for us. It's how we're going to experience heaven on earth. It's just our free will is, which really is more, we have free will not only over what we do, but the real kicker is over what we think. And that's why we have to be so careful of our thoughts and, weed them out. So anyway, hopefully we'll hear back from you and you can let us know the progress.
Okay.
All right, we're going to go ahead and jump to our next caller here. I have area code, 412. Area code 412, you're on live.
Hello.
Hello, 412?
Yes, my name's Storm. How are you guys tonight?
Doing pretty good.
Great.
How can we help?
The topic of the show tonight is lost, correct?
Yeah.
Just kind of wondering if I'm on the right path. If 2010, a big loss struck my family. We lost a little boy in 2010. He was 5 months, 9 days, and 11 and a half hours old. And what they say is so true. For children who lose their parents, they're called an orphan. For a spouse to lose a significant other, they're called a widow. But in any language, there is not a term for a mother or father or sibling who loses another child.
That is very true.
Yeah, because it truly is it truly is unspeakable. There are no words that would do that type of loss justice, and it takes my breath away when I try to speak to people who have lost their children because my loss feels like I lost my car keys. So I'm just, there's nothing, I mean, I'm just so sorry that you're having to walk this, walk through this. And, you know, I'm sure that we could fill a whole radio show on the things that people have said in an attempt to make, bring you a moment of comfort. And that has just sounded like ridiculous, you know. God needed an angel and all that. He's like, well, he's God. If he needed an angel, he had to come steal mine. No, try again. And there really is. There's nothing to say. So the fact that you're just speaking the truth, the fact that you can even call us and speak your truth about losing your precious little baby, you're certainly on the right track. I think that
I walk a path that a lot of people don't seem to understand. I am a fourth generation pagan priestess. The night my son died, like you said, God needed another angel, so he had to steal mine. I remember looking to the heavens and cursing the divine above to fall on our fat heads, to be quite blunt.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering if there's anything, anyone to step forward and, okay, affirm. Shortly thereafter, the one person that, you know, is coming up on August 31st will be the anniversary of his passing. Memorial Day, not this past year, but the year prior, I lost the one person who I don't remember my life without. Kind of like a surrogate, a family member, but not by blood. That's family irregardless.
Part of the tribe.
The one person who, this time of year, you know, it's hard. For anyone, it would be extremely difficult. And he passed away as well. Just kind of wondering if anything pops across. I know there was some mention of a mediumship. If anything steps forward or pops across, that just to kind of reaffirm where I'm at, if I'm on the right path, if I'm progressing forward with, let's just say, the universal chart for where I'm supposed to be. Because I kind of question if sometimes I have my moments with, like Andrew said to the last caller, everything in life requires balance. When you're good, you're good. But you also have that when you're bad, you're bad.
Yeah. But hold on, I'm going to pull some cards. But it's important to, I mean, one of the things that, you know, I'm not trying to speak in terms of making sense of the loss, because those two losses will never make sense. And they will never make sense. And in us, on an earth level, speaking about your human self, not your spiritual self, you are going to walk through the rest of your life as if you have a disability. And in one of the things that happens to so many people who experience loss, and sort of what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, it's not saying, oh, they did this, so you will do this. But in light of this, human life is going to make less and less sense. And turning to the, for you to develop your mediumship abilities and your ability to experience the ongoing, unconditional love of both your child, who is your child for eternity, you know, unlike a spouse basically till death do us part, and then on the other side they're just another person, but this is a, you know, a part of you. And then this other source of support, I have learned that, and I'll pull the cards in a minute, now I'm just really speaking from my personal experience, I have lowered the expectations of that I put on humans, because I have learned that their unconditional love comes with a lot of conditions. But the unconditional love of spiritual beings is just enough to more than sustain us. I mean, it will just carry us, as long as we can stay in constant connection with it and still walk our earth life. I see a lot of people get far too caught up in idealizing suicide and things like that and not finishing their purpose. But I really feel a strong sense that you, you know, I have a very cursory understanding of your religious practices, but a lot of those things are, you know, done in a group and ritualistic, but anyway, think that that's all fine because that's your religion, and you don't want to take your belief system and toss it when something happens. But sometimes it's just not. It's really what it's like. You want to put that in a box because you know that that is your sacred beliefs, and explore some other, you know, some of these other modalities, you know, looking for, which I think that perhaps your experience and training, you know, through your religion will not be something that's unfamiliar with you, because you are not going to be able to replace either of those two people. What you will find comfort and joy by reconnecting with them and redefining your relationship with them, connecting on a soul-to-soul level. Now, Andrew, I'm going to turn it over to you while I pull some cards. And I would also urge you, I do a lot of mediumship development and things like that. I do not give medium reading, especially not over the radio, because it's such a sacred thing. And but there are, like, Jethro, especially in the Blog Talk family, I mean, in the Psychic Skull and Wild family, and there's many others on Blog Talk Radio. I should be promoting Psychic Skull and Wild, but there's one. Jethro's amazing when he's on. But on Sunday nights, there's a show called Curious Times. It comes on at 10 o'clock. There's this guy, Joshua, and he's like 22, and he is going to be huge. Call in about 9:30, and, you know, because the queue gets filled up. But this guy is absolutely amazing. In the meantime, I'm going to turn it over to Andrew, and then I'm going to pull some cards about your past. Andrew?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm still here. I'm just cleaning off energy from the last call. I'm actually not really getting much of a connection here because I'm still trying to circulate off the last caller. A lot of things going on.
While you're cleansing the energy from the deck, Andrew, let me explain a few things to Amy. I understand probably better than a lot of people, Amy, what you talked about with finding that unconditional love. With, like you said, with my training as a priestess, I was taught from a very young age to walk a path of unconditional love. No matter what, I use this term very loosely, so I don't mean to offend. My parishioners, the people who, you know, that I associate with through my religion, they've come to see that, you know, you can scorn me, you can betray my trust, you can, and I'm still going to respond to you and show you unconditional love. Yes, I'm going to, you know, kind of slap me once, shame on you, slap me twice, shame on me, but I'm not going to cast you out and turn my back and not be there. I have learned very hard. And I know a lot of people probably would think I'm insane, but I understand the reasonings with the surroundings of the situation. And, you know, like you said about post-traumatic stress, I still suffer from, because I was the one who found my son unresponsive. I still suffer nightmares, and, you know, I go into flashbacks and things like that around this time of year, because my body automatically reacts to, okay, I know this happened at this time, and this is this day, that this is how many days beforehand, and I relive those days, you know, as my body lets itself start to, when you sleep, you release your guards, the guards that you normally put around your mind, around your spirit. Those guards kind of, you know, slack off just a little bit, and it allows your body and your mind and your spirit and your soul on a soul level to realize things. Like, you know, my son was 5 months old, and to a lot of people, that's not very old. For me, I remember every smile, every giggle, everything from his first crawl to everything. What his first food was. Those are the memories that replay. Not all of them are bad, but at the same time, it's still almost like a haunting feeling. You know, you wonder what if, what, where would he be today if this were the case? If he were still here, what would be? You know what I mean? And that's more haunting than...
Yeah. And that part, and I was just overwhelmed with energy as you spoke, because it's just a beautiful story, but that beauty comes with so much pain, like that balance that Andrew was talking about, especially right now with that you had mentioned that the anniversary was coming up. Your body just remembers all of that stuff. You play it out and play it out, because you're still, and I was talking, I don't know if you were on at the beginning of the show when I was talking about breaking down the loss into all the sub-losses. One of the things that you lost is not just your son, but you lost your, you know, you're a woman and you're a priest and but you're no longer, you know, your role as a mother has been, it feels like it's been stripped from you. But I do know so many women who have lost children, some of them babies, some of them older. And once what you're talking about lifts, which the only thing that can lift that is time, they are able to redefine, because your son's spirit is ever evolving. And if you connect, I mean, I see so many mothers who, once this, what you're talking about, is lifted, they're able to connect with their children and watch them continue to grow as an, you know, as an eternal being. Now, certainly that does not take the place of having the physical presence of this precious one in your arms, but I can't get a word out here. I'm so sorry. It is possible. It is possible.
And, on my intuitive side, I just have something I'd really, I'm going to recommend it for you, and maybe between the queue or something, if you can, you know, mute your mic, something you can look up while you're messing around and between queues, and go to YouTube. And this has to do with the energy that, you know, I work with energy as well. I do Reiki as well. I get energy as well from other people. something just, look it up on YouTube. It's just a simple melody. It's not anything heavy, hardcore. It's called Dancing in the Sky. Look it up. It's by Danny and Lizzie. Just something in it. I know this topic, like you said, you know, you felt lost. You know what the loss is and how it affects you and how it breaks you down. Listen to it when you get a chance.
Oh, well, thank you for suggesting that. I do know that many people, and we'll let Andrew talk. It takes a long time before anything makes sense, regardless of the loss. And then when it's a loss as just traumatic as your loss, it's even more so. And again, while the, you know, since you're familiar with all of these modalities, you know it because of your religion. You know, many people's religion falls short of meeting the needs of their loss because it's different than, religion is different than spirituality. And I think that I feel strongly that you're going to be able to, that this is going to be a very private private journey, but that you will be able to bring it forward and help many, because so many religion, because it's for groups of people and it's not a private thing. When something so private happens, we sometimes feel like it falls short of our needs. I believe that you're going to be able to plug this into the work you've already been doing once you take your private journey. The cards are telling me that in the immediate future there is a blessed change, and I believe it's going to be a change in your heart. It's going to be a little tiny bit of healing. It's going to be enough healing that you will, it will give you the breath to move forward, because with a loss like this, it truly is sort of a minute-to-minute type thing. Just be very gentle with, be very gentle with yourself as you approach this anniversary. Spend as much time as you need alone. The mermaids are urging you to look to the stars. Look to the stars and look to the clouds for messages. Because with this little tiny blessed change, it's going to lift enough of your just agony over this that the communications will begin, and they will begin to resonate to you. He's watching over you and protecting you during these changes. That's what the guidance card said. This is your spirit guides and your guardian angels and your son. And while he's certainly always your son and the little baby, and you're always his mother, now that he is not confined by a physical body, while, you know, he's still going to be your baby, he also has all the wisdom of the entire universe that he is going to impart to you, so that the rest of your earthly journey will be full of meaning and purpose. And the final card is Archangel Uriel, and it's saying your emotions are healing. That's going to open you up to greater love. this archangel or whoever you resonate to that has this same type of energy, that they are going to help you release anger and unforgiveness from your heart and mind. And once this anger, which is just a natural reaction to this type of trauma, is no longer serving its purpose, and the anger had a purpose. It was to protect you, and your anger was keeping you alive. If you hadn't had your anger, you would not even have been able to make it. Your anger was your friend. It was fuel for you to make it to another day, but you no longer need that anger. Trust the process. Let go of it, knowing that you're safe. And then it'll set the stage for a reconnection, a meaningful, eternal reconnection. And I think, Andrew?
Yeah, I was just trying to get my cards cleared out. And the first card I got wasn't as too clear because it was moot point. You basically hit every one of them, the magician. It's a shaman god that represents cosmic, basically control, diversity, and balance, cosmic order, and basically turmoil in one's life. It's shown that cosmic order has been restored from the past, but there's still pains that need to be let go, because the next one I got shows me a cedar tree, which shows me a cynical renewal, painful yet necessary. So that goes along the way with her saying that you're going to let go, you're going to heal, and amongst healing, you're going to experience some pain to let you know it's working. It's kind of like how they say tears aren't always sad. There's tears of joy. In some aspects in healing, pain lets you know something is working the way it's supposed to. It's letting you know, hey, this is going the same way. You're going to endure a little more pain, whether it be physical or emotional. That pain is not set onto one aspect. Third card, the Eight of Wands, represents cleansing. It's basically the sacred grail for the Indians. It's just showing me cleansing water coming up, new beginnings. Basically what that card's coming up to. But Amy hit just about everything on the nail. The reason why, Amy, I let you run with this is that this is my ex-wife, and the child she speaks of, we share together. So that's why I was letting you run this call. And you had hit everything pretty much on the spot about her. Everything that I've been trying to tell her, you just reaffirmed for her, or me anyways. But that's basically pretty good reading. So I didn't want to read too much on it because, like I said, we share this common child.
Okay.
You okay, Storm?
Yeah. She really did reaffirm a lot of things with...
Mm-hmm.
Well, you knew Mitch. It's a lot to process, but she did really reaffirm some things that, you know, we've discussed before, but not so much in detail. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know.
But, all right, I'll let you guys go on to the next caller. Thank you so much, Amy.
Oh, thank you so much for calling and sharing your journey with us. It's just such a beautiful story. I'm just so sad that we're still at the sad part of this fairy tale, and I just hope that
the healing that you spoke of, actually, you know, it's kind of funny. A lot of the healing, like you said, you know, there's been a lot of things open up and a lot of progress made thus far, and Drew talked about in the last year and a half, there's been a lot of atonement and things changing, and
just opening up communication and reaching back for a path and finding healing to be able to move forward and allow the communication to open up with the other side.
Just remember that that anger was your friend. The anger was the block, but at the time, the anger was your friend. The anger, your anger is what kept you alive, but it's no longer needed.
Yeah.
No idea how true that is. And the anger in the last probably 3 months, the anger has completely, like, it doesn't serve a purpose. It's anger
just become a habit. It's become an addiction. You don't need, if you just little, you're going to get little, take little baby steps, and you will see that your anger is no longer, it served a purpose. So be grateful for the anger and release it lovingly. Release it lovingly because it kept you alive.
Yes, it did, literally.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get down to the next caller. Yeah. Well, I guess I'll talk to you later, Storm. If you feel like listening to the rest of the show, call us back later another day.
I'll call back.
Well, thanks for calling in. And let Amy know how everything goes.
Will do.
All right. We have our next caller online. I've been holding very patiently. Area code 315. You're on live with us.
Thank you for taking my call.
How are you doing?
Half and half. basically from listening to your story. I'm a new grandmother, and my daughter just had a baby girl yesterday, but the baby was supposed to be a twin, and the other twin didn't make it. And, you know, what's hard for me is everybody is saying about how beautiful the baby is that is alive, but the baby that didn't make it was like, oh, well, at least you have one person to be happy about. It's almost like they just discard the other baby. You know, now that my granddaughter is born, it's, you know, I mean, how do I, as the grandmother, yes, I'm very thankful that I have my granddaughter, okay? But it's almost like that the other baby that did make it, she lost it a few months ago. You know, it's like, oh, well, look how beautiful this baby is. Well, I wonder what the other baby was, and yet discard it, you know. And I know, being my daughter's mother, that she's holding back this pain. I can see it.
That's exactly what that is. That's I only cut you off, but when you said that, said, well, at least you got this one, and she focused so much in there. She's mentally, subconsciously, spiritually, physically, any way you can put it, is trying to ignore that that ever happened, to deny the pain. Sooner or later, that's going to hit her like a ton of bricks, because unfortunately there is a lesson in that. I'm sorry to say it, because I too have lost a child. As you just heard, my ex-wife was just on, and I had the same problem there for a while. I tried to ignore the fact, okay, he's dead now. Okay. Yes, I was around when he was there. I was active duty. And there for the longest time, I completely tried to ignore that he had even existed at some point, to try to ignore that pain. It's not healthy. That's one of the things, vengeance, I was talking about earlier on the show, was that me ignoring and that hard-headedness of it, and not accepting that, yes, he was here. And I tried, not that I didn't claim him, it's that I ignored the fact that it ever happened and completely brushed out of my life. And then later in life, the universe said, hey, this happened, deal with it. Here you go. Because there was a lesson in there. And by the time I went to go deal with it, it was like a trickle effect of snow coming down a huge mountain, and it just rolled me up and sucked me in, all that hatred and pain and anger at once. It's going to happen to her. My advice is, you're going to have to get in there, talk to her, and tell her about the baby. Say, yes, you had this child. This child existed. It was here for a purpose. It just wasn't, oops, that's a mistake. There's no such thing. I feel that your daughter is doing this to protect herself. She's doing it to protect others around her and do what she can for the child now. my advice, if she's on the phone with me right now, I would sit down and just tell her, you need to acknowledge this happened. You need to acknowledge this baby had passed away on you. Mourn that loss. Mourn that life, because it's going to be important now. Do it now while she can, because later down the road, it's going to turn into something, and she's going to end up losing a lot more than just one life. Wow. She's going to lose a lot of people that are still going to be alive, and they're going to be dead to her. They're going to shut her out because they can't deal with it, because she needs to deal with them. And that's what happened to me.
Right. Well, she's already had multiple miscarriages because she has a brain tumor, and it caused her hormones to go off. She's got too much testosterone.
Did she handle those babies the same way?
Well, she ended up having pretty much a mental breakdown. You know, we have twins that run in our family. So she's already lost two sets of twins and this one twin to this twin, you know. So she lost five kids and just two sets of twins. Yeah.
That's a lot of grief to go through. That's a lot of loss to go through. I can see why she's trying to shut it out. I see now why she's doing it, but still, it's a protective mechanism for her. At the same time, it's a double-edged sword. While that sword's protecting her, she's blocking off all that hurt and pain, but the problem is that the reaction on that sword is coming back, and it's going to start cutting her deeper and deeper and deeper, and by the time she notices it, that sword's going to run her through.
My granddaughter was born yesterday, and she's a photographer, my daughter is, but a person that she's trained to be a photographer underneath her came in and took the baby's pictures, and there's a black and white picture, and there's like three orbs on her chin and a great big bright light behind her, you know. You're on my friends list on Facebook, so I'll send it to you in a message. I want to share it with you. But, you know, I firmly believe that's her guardian angel, or I'm curious to know if it's her twin being with her, because I've been told that before, that when a multiple baby loses another child, that other child never leaves. Is that true, or
That is true for everyone. Even though they're physically not in your presence, they spiritually never leave your side, because the only thing that separates us from the spiritual world is that we can't see them. They're not physical. Even though the physical body is laid to rest and is back in the earth, their spirit is still connected through the universe. We are connected through everyone through the universal mind. We are in their hearts as he is in ours. So, in essence, we never truly pass away or totally leave our loved ones. It doesn't matter if it's the first, second, or third time. Like, I only had one child pass on me. I've had a mother pass on me. I know now that they never truly leave.
Mm-hmm.
So just keeping that in mind, that the child will always be there. Those children will always be there at her side, connected, in one way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate you
have anything?
Yeah.
You have anything to add, Amy?
I'm just so overwhelmed. I now understand why I was so emotional in the last
Yeah, I'm
reading.
Sorry. I had a very special show,
but I'm glad that you kept that. I'm glad that I didn't know until it was over. But every life is eternal, and every life matters. And it gets very confusing when a life is very, very short, like the last caller, or in this case, you know, miscarriages, and want to get into a political discussion of when life never ends. You know, eternal life means there's no beginning and there is no end. There are just periods of time wherein our energy creates a body, and sometimes that body lasts 110 years and sometimes that body lasts 3.5 seconds. But that
the old saying goes, energy cannot be created nor destroyed, simply changes forms. And in this form, in the physical reality, the energy becomes physical.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there's a purpose for everybody, there was a purpose, And it is very, it is much easier, and especially in, you know, the, in our culture in this day and age where we generally do not respect human life, life with bodies, but for many, many reasons. And, you know, not just, you know, from beginning to end, you know, from beginning to end, it is a lot easier to just pretend that never happened. But energetically, it did happen. That connection was made. All of these babies, even the ones that never, you know, walked the earth or crawled the earth or laid in a crib, were souls that were to be connected to you and to be connected to her. And I think that getting a very strong message here that you are not, you know, we cannot force anyone on, we cannot force anyone onto their journey. Right now, your focus needs to be on your own grief, and you are so connected to, you know, the universal energy and the divine guidance. And as you continue to live a intuitive based life based on those messages that you're getting, you are going to be able to be a power of example to your daughter. And the cards are telling me that there is going to be a breakthrough on this, and it's going to come sooner than you think, but it's not going to come sooner than you want. The mermaids are telling me right now, you are so busy taking care of everyone else's needs. You really need to care, you know, really, really need to care for yourself. In trying to grieve on behalf of your daughter, that is just going to make you exhausted. Great blessings are going to come to you from this, and you are going to be able to be a positive power of example to your daughter. But it's going to happen in, not going to happen immediately. And if you continue the way, you know, if you continue to put the focus on others, you are not going to have that energy to sustain yourself, to see the fruits of your, you know, to see the fruits of your labor. So the mermaids are really urging you to try some new ventures in experiences, as far as, and that might have to do with different courses or some different modalities, or, you know, to explore these types of things. But the mermaids are very clear that you're going to be a positive, you're going to be a power of example. You're going to be receiving the divine guidance. You're going to be living your life in accordance with that divine guidance, bringing heaven to earth. And by that example, by being able to walk through this and experience, you know, and acknowledge these beings and their role in your life, in time your daughter is going to be able to, those blessings will be extended to her as well. But it's going to be, you can't wait for her to understand and experience it for you to receive these blessings. It's not right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think what helped me help her get through some of her emotional things was my parents lost, well, my father lost two children. One was 9 months old and one was 2.5. And my mother lost the one that was 2.5 that had multiple birth defects. So I saw their grief, you know. I didn't know my brother because he passed before I was born. But I just know how much it affected my family, you know, I mean, years later. So that's what I'm having a little issue with, is just how, like I said, the people that aren't in our family are kind of like, well, you know, she's got this baby, so she doesn't need the other baby. And it just seems like, you know,
Point. And they will continue to miss the whole point. As you know, and that's just coming from some sort of place of lack or scarcity. You know, it's just ludicrous. And people will continue to say, you know, people who are grieving, even fellow grievers, will say things that you'll just be like, what? You know, and that's right. Why it's such a private journey. It's such a private journey. But, you know, all of this is divinely crafted. And even for a soul to be part of a person's life for a second and a half, that was not an accident. And there's so many stories of people who experience near-death experiences and where they are they meet their siblings who were perhaps terminations or miscarriages or all sorts of things, and they meet them because these eternal lives were supposed to be intertwined in your eternal life. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, by her dragging her feet, you know, she's just slowing down. She's just slowing down time. When our will is in conflict with the will of heaven and nature, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally or to protect ourselves or what, we don't alter the course of history. We just slow down and stretch out time. So, you are going to be a huge source of inspiration both to your daughter and to other grandmothers who face similar situations, and people that you just don't even know. They're going to be conversations that happen in otherwise ordinary moments of time, sitting in a doctor's office, waiting online at the grocery store, something will just come up. And by your honesty and courage in you respecting life as short as it is, you are going to help countless people, because you're going to be a carrier of the truth. Mm-hmm. And the truth sits and patiently waits.
Thank you so much for your time and your explaining things to me.
Yeah, and I'll keep you in my prayers. And again, I'm sure these words ring hollow, but I'm just very sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much. And same with you.
Okay. Amy, do you need a few minutes to compose yourself?
No, we only have a few minutes left. I'll just take some breaths.
Yeah, sorry about that.
It's a beautiful, beautiful show. And, you know, people, we need to talk about losses. There are so many losses in our lives. And while some are much more profound than others, not a day goes by that we don't lose something, and our body reacts the same way. While it might not be as dramatic as some of the stories that we've shared tonight, every loss shakes your soul in some way, shape, or form. And we don't really talk about loss. We try to forget, you know, especially in this throwaway culture. I mean, here we're talking about human lives, but you know, when we lose things, we just go out and buy new things. You know, if we lose one of our favorite things, we lose it, you know, we go out and we just replace it, and nothing really is replaceable because everything is special and unique and God created. So we have several more callers, so maybe we can get through a few of them. We have like 15 minutes left.
All right. Next caller we have online is 630. You're online.
Yes. Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
Hi.
Hello.
I'm fine. So I wanted to ask a question.
Okay.
Oh, please.
Okay. So what do you see happening for my career in the next year or so?
Hold on a minute. Just want to clear out some of the energy here because it has been a very emotional show. And it's one of the things that's difficult going from reading to reading is making sure that because I get cleared out from that energy generated from the call and the cards get filled out. And will you please ask your question again now that I'm clear?
Okay. Just what do you see for my career in the next year or so?
Perfect. Thank you. I just wanted you to say it out loud when the energy was cleared. Andrew, do you want to go first?
Yeah. Okay. Currently here, this is the only time I've pulled this card twice in one show. I have got the Tower inverted. This is showing me that there is a cover or a sheath. The Tower itself isn't generally a bad card, but usually denotes something that you want to pay attention to. This could probably go to your own personal strengths, like your own personal will drive power. This is going to come in with the Three of Wands, which represents the arrow. Direct flight, precision. Basically what it is that in the flight of this arrow, I see that it's coming out, but you're losing strength as soon as it comes out, meaning something is holding you back, keeping your drive out. As far as your career, currently employed, this could mean that there's potential for growth or advancement, but something outside of your control is holding you still, but it's not outside of your control to break free from it. Meaning someone else has imposed something on you that's keeping you there, that's keeping you in that spot, but you feel kind of null for it. And at the same time, it's also killing your drive or killing your potential to go further when you know you can do so. And thing in your future shows me the owl represents divine wisdom. Okay, what this is telling me now altogether, like I said, something from an outside source is keeping you set, keeping you there. If you had been unemployed, I'd say that the fear of getting out there, fear of rejection, but here this is more of, a lot of times people not only have the fear of failure, but the fear of success. This is what this is telling me. Is the final card is also telling me that you need to let go of that, trust your instincts, and know to where you're going to advance, you are going to excel into, because where you're going to apply to or you're going to be moved around into is something that is geared for you. That's what I'm getting. What's getting you back is a fear of success, fear of moving on because you've done something for so long or you've been in the same position for so long, same scenario, that it's become your comfort zone. By advancing into another place is going to be the unknown territory, something unknown. And we as species tend to fear what we don't know or fear what we don't understand, as opposed to loss. The way loss would have hit us so hard is mostly because you step into that unknown territory of this person was here, this person is no longer here, either through death or divorce, separation, losing a job and coming into a new position that you're not sure of being in. This is basically telling me that you mostly have the fear of advancement because of the unknown. That's very easy
I'm
to have.
I'm not sure I'm understanding what you're saying completely.
Yeah.
So that I am going to be moving into something else where I am? Or what are you saying exactly?
When you said where your career was going, when that comes up, I was asking for advancement or positions. 9 times out of 10, here this is telling me that you are, where you are at is where you've been. Something outside of you that's influencing you, keeping you where you're at, emotionally, physically, it's keeping you happy, but it's not keeping you happy. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like your comfort zone where people wake up to the same thing every day. That's their mojo. That's their schedule for the day. Some people don't want to deviate from it because they don't know how to handle it. Here you have opportunities that you can excel in by presenting more of your personal drive, willpower to progress better, or advancements, or more responsibility, more income, a different position, leadership position. These are just all examples. Because the thing I'm getting here, like I said, the thing that's holding you back isn't necessarily what you're doing, is what you're allowing to happen emotionally and spiritually. It's basically keeping you there and you doing okay, but you've got more potential. You just have to recognize that potential and break free of that hold, of that boundary that you're in, and explore your potentials, like doing more progression at work, or in a social setting. I'm trying to give you more examples to try to get this right.
So, like, you have to go after it more, like, say you want to do more things at work and let them continually know that you want to take on more, that you're not, you know, that this is just way beneath what you're really used to doing, or...
Yeah, basically, there you go. You put it in better words than I could find right now. Like I said, it's been a very, very intense show already. Present yourself more to your supervisors that you can do more. Most people are comfortable with their job, do their 9-to-5 or whatever shift they have, to go do the bare minimum and go home. But they want to know why they're not advancing. They've been here for so long. Make yourself known. Show that you can do more. Make yourself more usable for the company. Want to learn a different position or a different job. Show that you want to move or that you want to advance and that you have the drive to do so is the best way to advance.
Will something come up for you then more? Like where you can stay in the same area you are but move higher, or that probably couldn't happen?
I'm getting just to, since we're a little bit running out of time, I am getting a card that says that it is time to explore your options. Again, the first card is saying that it's actually saying that it's just such a crazy card. It's called Music for Manifesting, and it's a singing mermaid, and that's just telling me that the current situation is very stale and not full of, that you are indeed stuck. I'm thinking of like whistle while you work kind of thing to just bring some lightness to it. It's a very heavy situation that they're also saying that it is right now, it's not a good time to rush into action. It's sort of saying to me that the situation is such that whether you stay or whether you go, it's still not going to be what your desired outcome is. It's not going to inspire. It's not going to inspire you and motivate you. So it's going to be exhausting and unfulfilling. The mermaids are also suggesting that you consult an expert. I don't know if that is someone at a search firm or something. It seems like you are not really doing what you love doing right now. And very similar to the energy that Andrew was pulling forth. But what they're really urging you to do is look at other possibilities. And I don't think that necessarily means other positions. I think it means what is it that you truly want to do? What is going to bring, what is going to make you whistle while you work? Because what it is that you're doing right now is not doing that. So I'm not clear on what it is. The energy that I'm getting is that you want increase, you know, you just want to have feel some passion and some purpose associated with your work, as opposed to it just being a source of income, and that is going to require you to perhaps take on a completely different role. But it's also saying that it's not going to be something that, I don't think that you have the answers to a lot of these questions right now. So I think that, you know, in your quiet time, whether you walk or meditate or drive to work or standing in line, really give some thought to what is it that will make you whistle while you work. And as you start putting that list of things together, you will be able to, only then when you have that list, will you be able to explore your options. Because right now, with this situation where you're just sort of stuck in this waiting mode, you're not going to, you don't have a clear enough message out to the universe of what you want, that it's going to be able to manifest a situation where you will whistle while you work. So spend some time, you know, this is all going in the time that it is supposed to, and this time right now, this time where it seems like nothing is happening with your career, is the perfect time for you to make a list to deliver to the universe of what is going to make you whistle while you work. Andrew, do you have anything else on that?
No, you basically said everything I was trying to find. I'm still trying to compose myself from the last two calls.
Yeah,
no,
it's been a very emotional.
Okay, thank you.
Joe, but please, I don't mean to cut your reading short, but that's clearly what's coming up. But feel free to call us back, because the energy changes. You know, these cards, it's interesting how while we're doing two different readings and Andrew and I aren't even in the same place, we generally pull forth because it is pulling from the energy. But our energy of both, you know, pulling from spirit and also the energy of the caller, and everything moves. So I really like when our callers call it. Some people don't like having callers call in show after show after show, but I love when they call in because we can see how things change, and I think it helps the other listeners and the callers see that their situation is changing from week to week. You know, nothing stays the same. So good luck with this, but really figure out, you know, ask yourself, what is going to make me whistle while I work? That's what the mermaids want to know. And we'll go scurry and help you manifest and make your dreams come true.
Okay. I'll think about that. Thank you.
Thanks. So, Andrea, we have a minute and a half. So I'm sorry for the callers that I don't think that we can do a one-minute reading. This has really been a very, very, very beautiful show. And it's just amazing that we had the callers that we had call in and trust us with such precious and sacred little chapters in their journey on Earth. And, you know, if we just look at it with our Earth eyes, it can just be unbelievably sad. And it's supposed to be sad. It's supposed to be sad. But in time, we can move through that sadness with all sorts of tools. Anger is a very, like as we talked tonight, anger is a tool. It's not, you know, we think anger is bad. But anger is a tool, as we had with this caller. Without anger, she would not have had the strength to take another step. But when it's time to, you know, we don't use all our tools all the time. Sometimes it's time, you know, we don't need to use our anger as a tool anymore, and it's time to pick up our intuitiveness. But at the very beginning of loss, oops, I think the recording's over.
We do have to get going. We got like 5 seconds, so we have to go ahead and end the call. Thank you for listening. Everyone have a good day.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for sharing the evening with us.